Father, we thank you.
We give you all the glory. We bless you. We are grateful for you. Thank you for your spirit in this meeting. Thank you, Lord, that hearts are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to be looking at something important. And we're going to be blessed one more time again. Today we're going to be taking a very sharp turn. We'll take a different route from our normal Sunday service teaching. So it's going to be more like a digression from the conversation that we have been having. And what I'm going to teach you today is so important. Now, we've been having conversations previous weeks, but yet again, we're going to look at this. You know, when it came to me that I should teach on this, I was like, okay, that's really interesting. But I strongly believe that we here have to grow in the culture of what I'm about to teach you. And I'll tell you, of course, what I'm teaching you, but not many consider it very necessary. But people who are very strong cultural people, and more importantly, spiritual people, take seriously what I'm about to teach you. And I believe that God wants us in this to look at a heart of gratitude. Wow. A heart of gratitude. And I chose to call this teaching, obviously by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, a heart of gratitude, because the human heart is considered the central part of the man, right? Both anatomically and structurally, except that it's being divided from the bottom. But if you're looking at that organ that is central to a person or to the man, it's the heart. Right? And why is it central? It's central because it is the foundational part from which a thing gains existence. Now, when you have the heart, how many of us know, obviously, except for art students? They might not know, but I'm sure everybody knows because everybody did science, core science. Right, is that the heart beats to every part. It supplies blood to every part of the body, isn't it?
Yes.
And so it means that when the heart stops beating, you know, the life of a thing is in its blood. And so if the heart should stop beating, what's going to happen is that means that we're going to have less supply of blood to all other organs and all other places. So it's core to every man's existence. If you met anybody and they told you, Charlie, me, I don't have a heart. Oh, you should run away. Because you're looking at a ghost. Nobody can live without a heart, right? So, it's quite interesting to know that it's very core or it's very key. When you say, why are you not performing well in this subject? And then the person says, I've lost heart for it. Now you see that heart there is not blood beating, but it means there's a life that pulsates towards that thing that's non-existent. So, the science students, again, obviously art students, they are learning. When the left side of the heart starts to fail, something happens. When the right side of the heart starts to fail, something also happens. So when you see that somebody has a sudden distended abdomen with maybe ankle swellings or knee swellings, and somebody tells you that there's a problem with the heart, I think it would be very strange, don't you see? Mm-hmm. Art students, except for science students. Science students understand the mechanism to which that happens. A big tummy. Then you say there's something wrong with my heart. How? Why? I mean, we should be looking at something more dangerous, right? So when the left side of the heart starts to feel, something happens. The right side of the heart starts to feel, something happens. It means that we start to look in a certain way that we are not supposed to. We become deficient in something, in a well-being, in a normal look. So it's the same way as the heart distributes blood to all other parts of the body. The spiritual man's heart, what flows through him is gratitude.
Wow.
So, a heart of gratitude is a heart that's going to be pulsating with gratitude, with thanks. It oozes out thanks. Thank you. Full of appreciation. When we see you, we must see thanks on the inside of you. Appreciation. Gratitude. That is a very central mark of a spiritual man. Thanks to God. Appreciation of thanks, genuine thanks to the men he gave you. Thanks in the good. Thanks in the bad. You know, sometimes it's when you realize that some things are not that natural that you actually begin to be thankful. You know, it's very normal to see until you do not see. Very normal to see. It's okay to see until you do not see. I remember a time where I, you know, some of you have experienced this. Like, you are using a phone, the phone falls down, you don't care. You pick it up again, falls down, you don't care. Then one time it falls. Then it's not responding again. Then you start to appreciate the phone. It's like you start to say, wow, I didn't know you were this important. I didn't know you were this important. Hey. Then it starts to dawn on you that you should actually keep it well. Have you experienced that? Or I'm the only one who has experienced that? Yes. It's like a force you don't care. You just go about it. You're normal. Then it falls one time. Then it cracks in a certain way. Then the lights begin to shake a bit. Then you're wondering, I should have kept this thing well. So many times we do not know the essence of what we have. Now, I know today is Mother's Day, obviously, and mothers cannot be compared to fathers all over the world. There's a total bias, I believe, which I don't think so, but I think Mother's Day is very loud. Very loud. Everybody loves their mom, so Mother's Day is very loud. So sometimes we don't even appreciate these people giving to us. You know, one time my mom, I was stubborn on something some years back, and she looked at me and she told me that, you, when I talk to you and you don't listen, one day I'll not be there to talk to you. Yes. And I said, oh, don't talk like that. Small stubbornness, you are already saying. So we don't see the essence of these normal things, like waking up every day healthy until you are admitted at the hospital. It's not a nice thing. And you have to take like 4 drips at once. Then you don't say, hey, I should have really appreciated health. Something like strength to get up every day, to even see the things that look hopeless, the strength to wake up and to see it, to envision it. The life, the breath, the food you eat. Some of you eat 3 times, some of you eat 4 times. Some of you eat in between every 2-3 hours. So, then you meet somebody who eats 2 times a day. Then you meet another who eats 1 a day. I met a guy, not a story, real life story. The guy had eaten 4 to 5 days or 6 days. Yes, and he was living on water. Yes. So I asked him that, have you eaten? He said, no, not eating. I said, why? When was the last time you ate? I've not eaten for five days or 6 days now. What have you been doing? I've been drinking water. Boy. Then I now got to say, I think eating once is a blessing. Because somebody eats once in 5 days. So, you know, we are sometimes not thankful enough. We're not thankful enough. Some of you, you should ask your parents where God took them from. You will be amazed that your father or your grandfather suffered to buy 1 pair of shoes. You'll be amazed. But now you have a house to sleep. And you still wake up and you are complaining that they don't give you iPhone. What? Hey. So, why am I teaching this? I believe the Spirit of God wants us paying attention to this. Because what I'm teaching you, it doesn't come naturally. No, it doesn't come naturally. In fact, what comes naturally is to be unthankful. That's what comes naturally. So it means that The spiritual man will have to be intentional about giving thanks, being full of gratitude, showing or extending appreciation. You know, I was in the pharmacy one time, and there's this Rasta man that I used to deal with, was wealthy, he worked with these borehole companies, and I used to take care of him. So he came to me one time and he said, "How old are you?" And I told him, did I tell him? Maybe, maybe not. Because then he said, "Can you advise me?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And I asked him, "What is it?" I call him Mr. Tony. And he said, "My firstborn, I currently have an argument with my firstborn because he tells me he wants a car. He's just about maybe 17 or 16, 16, 17. He wants a car, number one. Number two, his room is supposed to be, we gave him a room, decorated everything in his room. Then he wakes up one day and says we should change the whole room to color blue. Wow. So the whole room should be changed because he doesn't like the room anymore. He wants a car. He wants to drive a car, 16, 17. Wow. Then on top of this, he brings his girlfriend to the house. I said, okay. I don't know what advice I'm going to give this one any longer. So he said, what do I do? So I'm like, Mr. Tony, if I were you, unfortunately, I'm not you. I'm going to strip that boy of his room, strip him of his phones, strip him of bringing girls to the house. I asked him, how much do you give to him a month? Then he said, I nearly fell off my chair. Me who was working, I was not receiving what he was giving for his son. I was a worker. I was employed. I was counseling him. I do not receive what he says he gives to his son. And I'm sure maybe that's just the normal monthly thing that swipes into his account. The other daddy give me this. Daddy, they said we should buy this book. All of those things are not part. So I'm like, Mr. Tony, we have a case here. And I'm like, some people do not know what they have. In fact, that day is because I was filled with God's Spirit. I could have said, Abba God. Why? I'm just dealing with someone right here. The person has everything. The person now has specifications. He wants his room blue wardrobe, blue bed sheets, blue everything, like everything. The person is what? Chelsea fans. So he wants, I'm not lying to you, what I'm telling you is a real life story. Then he wants them to change his phone. Yes, and it was a very good phone, but he wants an upgraded sort of version. So you see that man can naturally be unthankful. If we leave you and we don't teach you, you're going to grow to be unthankful. Now, in Paul's writing to his son Timothy, he's telling Timothy a number of moral blemishes that are going to be clear in these last days. Let's see it. in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1 to 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Then he now tells us the signs of the last days. He now says, for men shall be lovers of their own what? Selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. Then what do we see there?
Unthankful.
We're going to come back to the emphasis on thankful. Unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hasty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. It means that when you see someone like that, you turn away. But in yourself, you have to avoid being that. So we see that unthankfulness is listed amongst these blemishes of the last days. That means that it's the nature of the devil to be unthankful. It's the devil that forgets and that is unthankful. Ungrateful to God for what he has done and how far he has brought you, to the men he has sent to you, to the family he has put you and placed you in, the circumstances that you see around you, we can just become unthankful. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. I'm going to help you understand. We're going to take sort of like a very slow observation on the word unthankful in Greek. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
So the word unthankful is in Greek is acharistos, A-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-O-S, A-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-O-S. It means unthankful. It also means ungracious. When you say somebody is full of grace, it's a very beautiful thing to say. It means you could literally say the person is full of thanks. The person, the word, actually, we are going to see it as we go. Let me not go ahead of myself. So it's the word acharistos. And it means to be unthankful, to be ungrateful, to be unappreciative. Now, if acharistos is unthankful, ungracious, right? Unappreciative, right? It means charistos will be what? Thankful, gracious, appreciative. Do you understand? When you say a woman is full of grace, it means that she is full of thanks. There's a, the, you know, thanksgiving cannot be faked. You can't fake real thanksgiving. Because it's not just in the words that are spoken. There is an atmosphere of thanks. It carries in itself an atmosphere on its own. Now, if Acharistos is unthankful and Charistos is thankful, we can extract grace from that word, which is charis. So write that. Charis is the word grace. And the word charis can be used in various and diverse ways. You know, you can look to a building and say, that's a building full of grace. It means that it's full of charm. It's full of charm. It's full of beauty. And like I said, or like I've said this a while back, the word grace was used to explain and expound on beautiful hills and valleys in Jewish culture. So they could look at something, and when you have no words to explain what that thing is, you see that thing is full of grace. So, unthankful, acharistos, charistos, which is thankful, charis, which is grace, right? Charm, favor, beauty, splendor, is the word grace. It means that anybody who is naturally thankful has a charm. You see, it works. There's a charm to being thankful. A charm to being thankful. A beauty to being thankful. Rather than you just wake up and you're just, you know, whining, just complaining, you're murmuring. It means that when you do all of these things, you are oozing out the graciousness or the grace of, or the charm that is upon your life. That's what you're doing. So when you see a man that is unthankful, cannot say thank you. Remember, we are talking about a heart. I told you, there's a heart. There's a left side. There's a right side. Right? All of these sides ought to ooze out thanks, thanksgiving, gratitude, appreciation. Now, it's from that same clan of words we have charisma. It means grace gifts. And boy, what a blessing it is when a man is gifted in the grace of God. It's a beautiful thing. So, when you're unthankful, you're without beauty. You're without charm. You're without a certain kind of a splendor. Now, many times, we tend to have our focus on things that did not happen. But that is wrong. How about the things that have happened? How about the things that have happened? Someone was telling me, no, I was telling someone, and I said, you see, when a man of God celebrates a miracle, it's not because he has seen miracles all through. It's just because we celebrate what is good. That's all. We celebrate what is good. So when we see a miracle, you know, and some of you, as you grow, myself included, learn to keep your eyes on the things that God has done rather than the things that it seems like he has not done. It's a killer of his grace. So imagine you are grateful for everything. There's a gratefulness, a graciousness, a thankfulness to God. in your life. Imagine, you know, the pastor is biased, but you just imagine that as a lady, you can tell your brother or your friend that thank you for choosing me. Or you think he didn't choose you. He chose you. You accepted to be chosen. I'm not saying you are not important. No, I'm saying that there's a choosing, right? So imagine you say, thank you for choosing me. Thank you. Because there were other options. And the man also says, thank you for accepting me. Hearts of gratitude. Rather than, you know, and sometimes the ladies might say, you are being blessed, I accept you. You are blessed. You are blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. There was Konimo on the side. I just looked at you because you were just sort of like spiritual some way. That's why. No, there were other people. And the man to say, oh, you to go away. I just saw you and I regret the day I even chose you. How about you just say thank you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Turn to your brother and say thank you.
Thank you.
Or your sister and say thank you.
Thank you.
Right? So, it's almost like when you ooze out with thanks, and that's how God feels when you tell him thank you. Yeah. I remember, was it quite recently or something? After I had, did I say thank you? But I think I was just full of gratitude. And he told me something, I was amazed. He told me something. I was very amazed. Wow. Then we should be giving thanks all the time. Imagine when you wake up. Of course, he's the first to give thanks. You say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for my family. I wanted this. It looks like it has not happened yet. But I'm thankful. At least I have life. At least this thing seems to be working. Many times we look at what is not working and then we complain and complain and complain. Meanwhile, there are other things that seem to be working or are working. How about we take our focuses off the things that do not seem to work and then we put them on the things that are working? So thank you. You say, Pastor, thank you. Thank you for giving me this. Thank you for trusting me with this. Thank you for the teaching today. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. Thank you for tomorrow. Mommy, thank you. And I've taught you to not just say thank you. Be specific as you give thanks. Thank you. I remember when I was 12 years old, I did this, this. You wasted money on me. You took me to the hospital. I remember this. You did this and did that and you did this. I remember that. You did this, you did that, you did this. I remember this. Thank you so much. I remember this. Thank you. If it hadn't been you, I wouldn't have been here. Thank you. Mommy, thank you. Daddy, thank you. You'll be amazed that graciousness begins to ooze out of them towards you. Rather than look at the things they didn't do for you. Your boss has rebuked you a few times, so you're full of grumbling. But he chose you. He gave you a job. One time I was at work, and I called all the people. And I said, you people, let's not be proud, eh? Don't talk proudly. Say, you can't feed me. Is it because I'm... They are feeding you. They give you... They pay you salary. They pay you salary. Or they don't pay you salary. Is it not from their salary that you buy your shoe? So I called and I said, listen, you should stop those complaining you have around. The shoe you bought, who bought it for you? He said, oh, they pay. So I can say, can I indirectly say they bought the shoe for you as a result of your work for them? Yes. The clothes you're wearing. Transportation. So how about we just become thankful to them for giving us that opportunity to work with them? Now, I'm not saying in a work environment everything is all good. But at least you can start by being thankful. You can start from there. Say, God is the one that takes care of me. Yes, please. He does take care of you. But when they are paying you, they throw money from God and it jumps on your table. No, it doesn't. So I told him, I said, let's just be thankful. Eh? If you want to go, just find a nice way to leave. Don't complain. They now saw that I think there was sense in what I was saying. Of course there was sense. There was sense. So we need to have thanks on our lips. So a heart of gratitude is a heart that oozes out thanks in every situation. Every situation. You know, I've said that it's very difficult for me to like cry. I only cry when I'm worshiping or I'm like in a place of worship and all of that. But like to just catch me crying, very difficult. Sometimes I have to force myself to say, you have to cry in this prayer. So aside for prayer and worship, very difficult to find me cry. But one time I received a call some time back. And this person called. And this person said, thank you. And said, thank you. I told you that Thanksgiving is an atmosphere. It carries with it its own atmosphere. Yes. And that's why Jesus will always give thanks before he sees miracles happen. There is an atmosphere it creates. So I pick up the call. Then this person is saying, thank you. Thank you. Like for 2 minutes, continuous thanks on the things that I've done or the things that she thinks I've done, the things that are happening, the things. And, you know, once she was just saying thank you and thank you. And thank you. I said, Lord, what is this? Because with it carried a certain sort of atmosphere. And I just broke down. Yeah. Not crying like, No. I just had tears. I didn't know the time the tears started rolling down from my eyes. Yes. I said, that's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. A powerful thing to say thank you. A powerful thing to have real appreciation. I remember someone shares a story of, it was at Yaka, and Reverend Onayinka was leaving, and then someone just, you know, I mean, today is his birthday. Great. I asked the Lord to remind me. We're going to do a birthday song for Reverend. Yes, and then I'm told it will be sent to Nigeria. So after this, we'll do a very short birthday song, right? So the person just cornered him and bent down and started crying. They said all the people around could not stop him. Because it's an atmosphere. It creates a certain kind of a presence. It's an aura. It moves with it on its own. Yeah. That's why when you enter his courts, his place, that circumference with things, something happens. Something happens. Something happens. And nobody could like literally take him out. They had to just stand there and just allow him. And he wept and wept. And he started saying, thank you. Thank you for leaving Word Media. Thank you. You changed my life. You saved my mind. Thank you. You helped my ministry. Nobody. Look, there's that he finished before he now got up and everybody allowed him go. There's a power that comes with genuine things. Genuine things. You know, there are many things that should have happened that did not happen. But there are also many things that have happened. And for that, we're going to give thanks. We're going to learn to give thanks. We're going to learn to give thanks. Lord, we've been ungrateful. We murmured, we've complained. There are things we should be thankful for. You know, in today's meeting, what you don't know I'm telling you is that I'm setting you up for more. Because he who gives thanks is he who is worthy to receive. Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks. Lord, we give thanks. Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks. Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks for the things that you have done. For many other things you are yet to do that we have not seen. The things that eyes have not seen, we thank you in advance, Lord, for them. We thank you for our lives, for our mothers, our fathers, our friends. We give you glory. We give thanks, Lord. Lord, we give thanks. Saye la na ba de ya no ya ga ba. Saye ya ga bo ya la ya. We give thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good and his mercies endure forever. Oh, rana ba ya ga bo so no mo mo mo. Lord, when you feed us from, Lord, for your precious son, Lord, for salvation, for the gift of your death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you. 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 Oh, thank you. Hey, Jesus, we thank you. Yesterday we came here to do a few one or two things, and then when we were going, we left here late, and I met a few of the sisters around, and then one of them saw me and she said, "Pastor, see, Pastor, in so much," like there was a sudden glow. So I looked at the fellow and I asked from a distance, I don't know if she heard or they heard. But I said, why is she so happy? I was amazed because I didn't know why she was so like full of a sudden glow, like a sudden glow. So do you know that I heard the voice of God after? Immediately I said, why is she so happy? Yes. And I felt like the Lord said, because she's thankful. Yes. Then the Lord told me, he said, don't stop them from being happy. Yes. So when I got home yesterday, it came to me again. Don't stop them from being happy when they see you. Because I was wondering, what? Why are you so happy? I didn't know why. I was still trying to understand what was going on here. But you see, there's something that thanks does. Real gratitude, I'm telling you, is a very powerful thing. Now, today we're not looking at the power of gratitude or, you know, the substance that comes with gratitude. I'm just telling you how your heart is supposed to function. Are you listening? Yes. So we're looking at a heart of gratitude. Yeah. Are you going to be grateful?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give what? Thanks. So this is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he's telling them that in everything that happens, give thanks. Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20. Are you going to give thanks?
Yes.
He says, giving thanks always for all things. So what are you going to give thanks for?
All things
unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. So he's telling the church in Thessalonica, what? Give thanks in everything. In the church in Ephesus, he's found what? Giving thanks. There's something the Spirit of God wants us to realize. I bow my knees to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the Father of glory, that he may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. But before that, he gives thanks also. Right?
Yes.
He says, giving thanks, making mention of you always in my prayers. See what he says to the church in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And be ye what?
Thankful.
So you let the peace of God. In fact, how to let the peace of God rule your hearts is actually to be thankful. So he says to the church in Thessalonica, give thanks. Into the church in Ephesus, he's encouraging them to give thanks also by his life of giving thanks. And then to the church in Colossae, he says, be ye what? Thankful. Not full of murmuring. You know, one of the things I believe that I don't do well with is that I don't do well with murmuring. I would rather be quiet than murmur. Maybe God maybe has to see my heart and then also give me how my heart is praying. But I think I'm not somebody that likes to murmur a lot. Even when things go bad, I don't know how to complain. God, why me? When is this going to change? Like, we all day inside. I know we are here. So we are here together. So it's not a good thing to complain and murmur. And you know, sometimes we give in to certain desires, right? And the truth is that these desires in themselves are not wrong to have. Like maybe a very strong ambition to accomplish something. Then your friend accomplishes that. Then it looks like you have not accomplished that thing. Then you're like, ah, Lord, I was better than this person in school. I beat this person in this mark. I was the top student. And many of the times, the third class, fourth class, fifth class, sixth class, they'll be laughing. Right? Because it seems like it works. It works. You see someone who had passed, the person has a very good something. And then they are telling that, oh wow, we have first class. Oh. Then it's like it pins you. Like you are intelligent, but you didn't really go far, like the way that the person who has not really passed very well has gone far. And so you start to complain. It's like, now, that I'm saying that these desires to be the best, these desires to be great, these desires to be good, they are not strong. But if these desires now begin to become reasons why we are unthankful, then there's a very serious problem. Right? And some of them also don't know how to talk. So, we must be thankful. Be thankful. Sometimes you see someone who, in quotes, was your maybe small boy or junior or something, but the person is working at a place you wanted to work. No, don't. That's not the time to compare. Don't compare. Me, I don't compare myself with anyone by the grace of God. Yes. Because our paths are different. I told you that all my very good friends are doctors and things in other places. My very good friend, right from SS into this. Yes. And then they ask me, what are you doing? I'm a pastor.
Oh, yes.
And I don't really, I'm not really worried about what somebody has and what I don't have. I don't do that. You shouldn't do that. Me, I've never seen anybody, whether my colleague lower, higher than me, driving a car and I wished that I was driving. I've never done that. I mean, I thank God for you that you have that. But I pick trotro or maybe I walk. It's good. It's all good. It doesn't have to be competitive. It doesn't have to be competitive. So normally we look at somebody's life. Why is it that your sibling is doing well in school, but you are angry? You are angry that they are doing well in school, but you didn't really do well. No, why don't you thank God for them? Why don't you thank God for them? So, many times, we keep our eyes on what we don't have. What don't I have? What haven't I achieved? No, I want to make this amount of money. I can't afford this. And it drives us so crazy that we can't afford this yet. You'll be able to, but maybe not now. You're still probably building up a life. So you're there. You're wondering, why? 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 I told you that this ministry started in a veranda in Tamale.
Oh, yes.
With children.
Oh, yes.
5 years. 7 years? 9 years? Oh, yes. One of the services, early service, I came with children in the place. I said, today is today. Today is today. I remember so clearly.
Wow.
So I sat on the keyboard and I played Father Abraham.
Wow.
And I sang as many songs with them. And they were happy all over in the place. And in my mind, I was saying, hey, Lord, is this children ministry? We danced and enjoyed. And you know something? When I got into my room, I think my mother helped me. I told her, she asked me that, what's going on outside? It looks like today the service is Sunday school. And I said, that's what it's looking like. And you know what she told me? She said that, be careful you don't despise what is outside.
My God.
She told me, she said, don't look down on it. Because I think I was tempted to. Yes, I was tempted to say, oh, seven years, 5 years, 6 years. Let's close. I was expecting some adults. And I had some revelation to share. Oh, sit down. I had some revelation to share. So I got to her and she told me that don't look down on them. Don't look down on them. So when she said that, it stuck in my mind that don't look down on it. So I went out, played Father Abraham, we danced and all of those things. I don't know how the service ended because I don't remember how it ended, but
wow.
I think we had a nice time. So we look at the things that we don't have. We look at the things that we don't have. Why are you unthankful? Because your classmate sort of is getting married. Then you now start to say that, look at all these people. I'm being beautiful. No, don't do that. I'm beautiful than them. Look at. This one has had a husband. The world is not fair. So we focus on how long the journey is. We focus on how long the journey is. If I was focusing on how long the journey is, I will not still continue. I would have told God that, God, come and sit down. Sit here, I'll sit here. I've prayed, son. I've not seen it the way I want to see it. Yes. And then you start. And you see, because ungraciousness, you lose your charm. That's why when you see somebody who is ungrateful, you can literally see it in them. You can see that the person is ungrateful. This is ungrateful. You are just an ungrateful person. You see that. So what? I mean, if you didn't do it, someone else will do it. But that's an ungrateful person. And when you do that, God will not keep opening doors for you. Because you were ungrateful to the people he brought to you. So, we look at the things we don't have. We look at the things we cannot yet afford. We look at the things we don't. We cannot accomplish, or we have not yet accomplished, that other people have accomplished. How long the journey has been. How long it has been. How long. And then we start to have a heart that's full of ingratitude. But not in this church.
Not in this church.
And not in your life.
Not in my life.
And not in your family.
Not in my family.
I told you that. You say, Pastor, I can't eat 3 times a day. I said, eat once a day and still be thankful. Get up very happy. Eat 2 times a day and be happy. Don't let anything steal your things. Just mama. Even this God, I'll not even serve him again. Yes. I'll not even serve him again. See, Someone helped you, put you through school, helped you. Then you wake up and you say, what you did was nothing. Even if the person paid your primary school fees, at that point in time, you needed it, and so it was very necessary. If the person didn't pay, you won't go to JHS. And if the person didn't pay, you won't go to SHS. So we ought to have that heart of gratitude. Don't complain. You know, sometimes I believe that everyone can be full of joy if we can learn to be thankful. Everyone, I'm telling you, all the things you are complaining about and worried about, it's just because you are not grateful. You are an ungrateful person. Yes. I remember some time back, I began to feel different about a few things. So I went to the Lord. And I just said, I was going to give thanks. So I started to give thanks. I started to thank him for the things that are happening, for the things that will happen, for the things that have happened. And what I was actually looking for, I had surpassingly. Yes, after that experience, I saw that everything came with ease in a certain way. You have a job. You say you want to take 15,000. But you're not thankful for the 2,000 or 1,005 or 2,005 or whatever it is that's happening. And all that you see is something that is not being done for you. They're not giving us this benefit. And the benefits are not really good. And how about you start being thankful for that job? How about that? All my friends have gone. Where are they going? And these are gratitude killers. Comparison, murmurings, complaining. How about you wake up and you have maybe 10 cities and you say, Lord, this is not going to suffice me for the day. But I still am thankful that you will supply everything that I need. You will be amazed. Somebody will just wake up from anywhere and just say, I just thought about you in a certain way. And I just said, let me just pay for you and I just want to help you. Yes. One time I remember an offering came in. And the Lord had told me that, Pascal, learn to receive every offering with thanks. I'm talking about church offering. Yes. Because, you see, we want to buy a land or we want to build a structure or we want to move into a much, you know, better place or something. And the Lord said, whatever comes, give thanks. And I said, Lord, okay, why? He says, as you give thanks, I'll multiply it. Yes. As you give thanks, I'll multiply it. As you give thanks, I'll multiply it. So I always receive offerings with thanks. I say, thank you, Lord. This is what you are giving us as a ministry. And we're going to use it. We're grateful for it. So there's a heart that must pulsate with gratitude in every circumstance and in everything. Life is difficult. Would you rather have no life? I thought to ask you, would you rather have no life? Okay, give me your life. I need two. I need life and extra life. Because the work can be done a lot when there is more life. So if you think you don't want life, please, let's begin. Add yours to mine. Extra life. So we're going to learn to be thankful. Are you listening?
Yes, Pastor.
Thankful in all things. Thankful in all things. You know, you should call your parents and give thanks for all the times that they've paid your school fees. Yes. Now, some of you are thinking that your parents owe you every good thing. Don't think like that. Once you're past 18 years, they have catered for you the best. You are now an adult. See, they take you to university, they pay your school fees, then you now are complaining that your pocket money is not enough. Pocket money is not enough. And it comes with grumbling. Comes with grumbling. Your pocket money is not enough. Your pocket money is not enough. How are you managed with what you have? You can ask my father. He told me that I think I'm the best amongst the children. Yes, who didn't take a lot of pocket money? Because I was generally grateful. Like anything you said you have, that's what I flow with. Yes, I never ask extra, demand anything extra. I never do that. Yes. Yes. Then my other siblings also started going to school. And he said, hey, it's really true. You were the best. Yes. By the time they bill you hair and all of those things, you know that, no, that's really good. Collect money here and there. No mercy for the cripple. They collect the money without emotion. Like this. No, it's like this. Without emotion. Provide it. You are the provider. It has to come from you. Yes. And some of us feel so entitled. There's a mind, or there's a mentality where we say that we are entitled to this. No, it was only a privilege given to you. It was only a privilege. It was only a privilege. You must do this for me. Why? Because I am your son. But you are 19 years, 21, 22. You are still saying they have to do this for you. Your bag, they have to still buy for you. Your trousers, they have to still buy for you. Your shoe, they still have to buy for you. Jewelry, they still have to buy for you. Phone, they still have to buy for you. Boxes, singlets, sanitary pads, they still have to buy for you. You are just an ungrateful person. So, you see that? People have a mentality. Yes. I told a few people who come to stay with me, I said that what I'm doing for you is but a privilege. I said, it's a privilege. Because in my natural self, I will not allow people to come into my home. Yes. Not because I don't like people. I love people. But there's normally an atmosphere around me. And they spoil that atmosphere. Honestly. Yes, because when I'm alone, I see angels literally moving. But when you are there, they can't do that. They can't do that. You are there, they can't do that. They can't do that. They can't do. Where are they going to move to? They can't do that. They can't do that. Yeah, they can't do that. How are they going to do it? People are walking in. People are walking. And as a man of God, there's need for solitude. Like there's a solitary place that you get deeper into things. You are walking. The door is opening. That this is. I said, what I'm doing is only but a privilege. Only but a privilege. Yes. Because before now, when you come to my home is always filled with speakers and noise. I can put on my morning till evening. When you are there, I can't do that. I have to put in my earpiece, or I have to put it something small, or I have to go up to the other place. But you are around. But you now say that we are not. We are privileged. You have to be there. See, you are just an ungrateful person. So all of the people have given you houses to sleep in. You said there's no air conditioning in it. We gave you a house. You said there's no air conditioning. They gave you a house with a bed. You said there's no fan. Yes, that's what you said. You said there's no fan in the room. No fan in the room. They should give you fan. When they gave you fan, they said, no, they should give you air conditioning. Somebody invites you into their home and they give you two meals. And you're still expecting three. You're just an ungrateful person. You're an ungrateful person. Take your seats. Take your seats. You're an ungrateful person.
No salam. No salam.
They serve you banco and granos. You say there's no meat. Hey! They be. For the 2 years you came, you said there's no. You're just an ungrateful person. You see, you forget the banku, you forget the groundnut soup, you forget the bowl that they used to serve you, forget the house they allowed you to sleep in. Then you now get up and say that they don't add meat to my food. You only decided to see the meat. You didn't see anything else. Every other thing that was done, you couldn't see it. You didn't see all of those things. You now see that people are this, they are not really fair. They bring you into the house. Somebody has brought you into their house. Then you say they don't talk to you. Oh, yes, I've seen someone like that. Don't talk to me. Am I supposed to entertain you? Or I should bring you into. Don't talk to me. Huh? You say they bring you into their house. You say they don't greet me good morning. Who are you? They brought you into their house. You should be grateful for the things that... See, don't take what I'm saying for granted. See the little things and be grateful for them. See the little things. See, have a cause to be grateful for everything. Don't ever catch yourself trying to despise what people are doing for you. Grateful for everything. They pay your school fees first year, second year, third year. Then you now say, maybe the person paid fourth year, first semester. But fourth year, second semester, it's like the person was not able to pay. Then you forget the first year, you forget the second year, you forget the third year. You forget the fourth year, first semester, and you penalize the person for the last semester the person couldn't pay. Your sister was there for you. There for you. There for you. One time she couldn't be there for you. You are already saying that she's something. No, let's have reasons to be grateful. You see, I thank you. This wasn't done, but at least I thank you for this. So every man who is full of the Spirit will be full of thanks. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And it is a good thing to dismiss anybody that is ungrateful. Yes. Because anybody that is ungrateful, there is murmuring. And murmuring is a sin. Yes, it's a sin. It lies in the classes of other known sins that you know of. Yes. So when you find yourself murmuring, complaining, full of greed, envy, these are all killers of gratitude. But see what Ephesians 5:18 says. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the what? The Spirit. Are you going to be filled with the Spirit?
Yes, sir, sir.
You're going to be filled with the Spirit.
Yes, sir, sir.
wherein this exists, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in what? In psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your what? In your hearts to the Lord. Verse 20. Can we read that together? Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we read verse 20 again as a church? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. In all things. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Sometimes when you go before God, just give thanks. When you take the road, give thanks. When you talk to others, be thankful to them, to the men. Be thankful. Have a heart that expresses gratitude. Don't have that mentality of being entitled to it. Don't have that. Don't have that. Don't have that. Don't have that. So in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, can we read together? Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein. Thanksgiving. You know what it means to abound? It's to increase in exceeding measures in giving thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Your brother does something for you. Oh, thank you. You know, culturally, I believe that there are some cultures that when they do things for you, you call at that moment, you say thanks, right? Or sometimes you carry your family members to go and see them and say thank you. Then the next day, early in the morning, you call again to say, oh, the thing you did for me yesterday, I called to say thank you for that thing that you did for me yesterday in the morning. Right? If you go and you gather your people and you say thank you without saying the morning one, it means you were really not thankful. So you give thanks now, you give thanks tomorrow in the morning. What? So sometimes you might think it's cultural. It's not just cultural. It's the mark of a man who is full of the Spirit. He knows how to say thank you. He knows how to say thank you. And he does not just say thank you. He says it from the bowels of his heart. There's a place it comes from. It's very genuine. It's true. You can, when you hear it, you know this is true things. We just want to thank that brother over there. It's not anything, but it's just that God used him to do. Yeah, thank you. Oh, is that how to give thanks? No. My friend said, if you didn't do it, somebody will do it, my sister. If you didn't say it, somebody else will say it. Sometimes we feel somebody's money is ours. They work for their own money. Then you now say they should give you money. you ask for the person, the money from the person, and the person didn't give you. But how do you know that the person has a lot but didn't give you? Then you now take offense that the person did not give you. But the last time you asked, the person gave you. But you now take offense that the person is not giving you. You are just full of ingratitude. And that is what flows out of you. And it's very dirty and it's very nasty. It's not the mark of a spiritual man. Somebody's money they should give to you. Then they tell you that they don't have. Then you now say, I feel he really has. I feel he really has. But he's a very wicked person. But the person has been helping you all this while. Why don't you give thanks? Why don't you say, you know what? I asked you another time. You said you didn't. But brother, I really want to say thank you for the last time you did this for me. I really want to say thank you. You've always helped me. You've always really helped me. That this time that you don't have, I really, really understand. You have always helped me. You see that it opens up another level of help to you in a very significant way, unknown to you. It sets you up for receiving more.
Wow.
Yeah. One time, I think someone called me and said they were going to tell their parents something to get something. And I said, no, start with keeping things. Heap genuine things. Then at the latter, you chip it in there. It will be easy. It will be very easy. Yes. Rather than every time you call, it's something that you need. So you give things, give things, give things, give things, and then you put the other one and the down. You see that it will pick. But when you appear with a lot of things that were not done, things that have not been done, things that should be done, that have not been done. That's why you don't receive a lot. Yeah. So you're going to practice this, right?
Yes.
A heart of gratitude. Thankful to God, thankful to the men. Thankful to one another. Something you have to do. Something you have to do. When you go to God, look at all the things that He has done. One time, I remember, I was praying and I was asking God, God, I need this. No, He told me to do something. And I said, are you sure? And do you know what He asked me? He is a master asker of questions. If there's anything I know about God, He can ask the question. And the question is always like to tell you, you are not thinking very straight. And then He asked me, He said, what have you ever asked me that I never did for you? That was how we closed the discussion. Yeah. What have you asked me for that I never gave you? I said, well, I don't know, honestly. And I said, Lord, I give thanks. Listen, give thanks often. Let it slip out of your mouth often. Like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for today. When somebody does something for you, thank you. And don't let it be fake. And I just thank you. No, thank you. From a place that understands gratitude. You know, we can be grateful for God, or we can be grateful to God for calling us into the ministry, or we can murmur about it. We can see it as a privilege. Precious Lord, thank you for calling me. Not that you've called me and my mates are all doing well, except me. What do you mean? It's very serious. Huh? If there's anything I'll be ever in my life, is that I'll continually be grateful to God for His call to me in the work of the ministry. That's why I can look back and I'll say that there is no day I will regret serving Him in the ministry. that day will never come. Because I knew who I was. And I knew where he picked me from. I know what it took him to die on the cross for me. I understand it. I know what it means that by every stripe he took with me on his heart. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him. And so I'll give thanks. That's something I'll always do. I'm going to teach you how to practice thanksgiving in a short minute. But I'll always give thanks. I'll always give thanks. Lord, thank you. You know, and I'm genuinely not even thanking him because I want something from him. It's just a grateful heart that says, Lord, so you should remember your life before, how you were in the world, how you didn't care about him. And then now he calls you to himself. Something to be thankful for. So I'll never be ungrateful. Never. There's not a time. I told you that our target right now as a ministry, as a church, is 200 plus. Looking far ahead into several tens of thousands. If it happened, I'll be thankful. If it never happened, I'll still be thankful. There's no day I'll be ungrateful. Yes. I'll never be ungrateful. I wanted to see the dead. I've always wanted to see, and I want to see the dead raised. I want to see miracles happen. I want to see strange demonstrations as spoken as many days of old. If I see it, I will be thankful. If I never saw it, I'll still be thankful. Never unthankful. Lord, we saw you use men like William Branham and many men that were strong in you. If it happened, I'll be thankful. If it never happened, I'll still be thankful. There is no day I'll be ungrateful. There's not a time that will come. There's not a time. There's not a time. That day will not come. It will never come. It will never come. If I ever became one of the wealthiest men of God around, I'll be thankful. If I never became wealthy, I'll still be thankful. There is no day that it will come that meets me that I'll still be ungrateful. I will never be ungrateful. Never. If I could have everything in the world, I'll be thankful. If I could not have, I'll still be thankful. Either of the ways, I'll be full of thanks. Lord, we will be thankful. And we are thankful.
thanks to him. Give thanks to him. Give thanks to him. Give thanks to him. Give thanks to him. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, Baba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we're going to learn to practice thanksgiving and gratitude. Take your seats quietly, we're about closing. So in the practice of gratitude, write these quickly. Number one, practice contentment. Don't look. Don't look too far. You know, that's why I believe Pastor Nathaniel says that you shouldn't look too far to see how good he is. You should look at him. Not because he has everything. No. We just know we are grateful. So you're going to practice contentment. We're going to open quickly a few more scriptures. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 11 to 13. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Not that I speak, okay? I can hear some people flipping. Philippians chapter 4, 11 to 13. Lord, we thank you for your precious blood, for your Son, for the power and victory over the enemy, for your Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And this are they that overcome the world. Even our faith, we overcome. We thank you for your precious promises in your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the men that are given. We give thanks. So Paul says that not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Yes. So Paul is learning how to be content. 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 Contentment will save us all. It will save us all. I'm not saying don't strive for more. You can strive for more while being content with what you have presently. So you're going to be full of thanks. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Timothy is the next book after Philippians. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Be content. Are you listening? So in practicing gratitude, you're going to practice what? Contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 5 to 12. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Anybody that tries to tell you that to make money is a sign that you have God. Have you heard those things? Or if you have God, it means that you're going to make money. Paul says that's not the way God wants you to have your heart's position. He says from such people, withdraw thyself. But what is happening in verse 6? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is what is great gain. Are you listening? So you're going to be full of gratitude. You're going to be content. You're going to be content. Are you going to be content? Yes. Now listen to what he says in verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That's why you should be content. Because nothing actually really belongs to you. Yes, you'll be shocked the money you are saving. Five of your brothers are coming to Scatter the money. Five of them. They split it. Three of them like girls. So it means that they share it to the girls. One likes enjoyment, so he enjoys. The last one is the one that is, okay, three, one, that's so five. So two like chilling. One likes girls. The other likes, what do you call it? The other is actually the one that's an investor. Yes. So he actually invests. But the investment, you see, you're not really sure if it will happen. So you see that Paul is saying that we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we'll carry nothing out. Listen. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. If you have food and you have a cloth to wear, Paul says, be content. Many of us are just discontented, disgrumbling, proud people. It says, when you have clothes and you have food every day, that's enough. You are living life. So are you going to learn to be content? Never look at what somebody has and so much covet. It's that you wish you could take it from them forcefully. Two best friends, one has a nice shoe. Why don't you thank God for the shoe? But we are going to buy, you want to buy a much nicer one. Something that's more, so that they say, no, that one is not nice. Yours is the one that is now nice. I spoke to somebody, I was walking on the road, and then somebody called me from somewhere. And the person said, man of God, I think I was working with Irene. And he said, man of God, can you prophesy to this fellow for me? I said, okay. I'm on the road. I'm not sure, but I'll just pray with her. So I just started praying with her. And God showed me something. I said, what? So I prophesied. In fact, everything I said, obviously, was right. But after I started inquiring, she said, oh, yeah, my dad is in East something something, and I have a lot of businesses, and I'm actually confused which one I'm going to do. And he has you could see that it was a multi-million sort of thing. And I was now speaking to the person. Yes, and I was crossing the Medina, whatever road, on foot. So yeah, so we're not sure as to whether we should go to Eastern Africa or we should call the Wawu. And I said, no, I'm thankful.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I'm thankful. But she was depending on me for a prayer, you see. Yes. And I actually told her where she should go. I said, you have the money, you don't know where to go. I'm thankful. Why shouldn't I be thankful? So we have to be just thankful. You see, when you look in your life, you will see inherent beautiful attributes that makes everybody special in very distinct ways. That's why you should be thankful. Some of you who are into the ministry, I've always said this every time. Don't look at anybody who is into the world and envy them. Envy that you were there. No, what you have is far more expensive than what anyone in the world can give you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't have that mentality of entitlement. So practice contentment. Practice contentment. Ministers, be content. Eh? Be content. Be content with what you have. I met someone say, "Oh, man of God, we have to buy a car." I said, "You are a minister. A car should not be our conversation. See, you shouldn't be having such conversations." Shouldn't be so. Look
at somebody's congregation size, and then you start to despise your congregation. It will never happen.
As a minister, don't do that. You look at somebody's discipleship group, you begin to despise your two. Don't do that. Don't say that this person has five. I have not even had one. No. Be grateful in all things. Are you listening? In all things. So you're going to practice contentment. Practice it. Practice to be okay. Number two, you're going to be thankful. Yes, it's a practice. Be thankful. It means you say
thank you often. And sometimes you say it, and also
you celebrate others genuinely. Like genuinely, you celebrate others. You celebrate others genuinely. Don't do that. As a minister, whatever you can do, do it. And trust God that you will grow. Don't look at what somebody else is doing. Let it rather inspire you for something greater. Number three, seek the best for others in practicing a heart that's full of gratitude. Seek the best for others. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Are you going to learn to do that?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Rejoice with them that rejoice. Oh, this brother has had something good coming for him. Glory to God. Wow. We hear another brother doing something, another sister doing something. Don't say, I know that they pay some bribe to get all of these things, but once you don't pay, they don't really favor you like that. No, meanwhile, they didn't pay. They were just helped by God. So you're going to seek the best for others as you seek the best for yourself. And you know, ingratitude oftentimes has an unkind eye for those who have more. Like, it's not really happy. But that's not your heart.
Amen.
You see people's good. You see the good in them. You don't criticize them. When you see someone do something that is good, you join the person and you say, what you have done is really good. Don't criticize people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you're going to seek the best of others. Are you going to do that?
Yes, Professor.
Write this one. Number four. I think this is like a master key from my experience. Keep your eyes on eternal things. This is what has helped me. Because I also used to like a lot of things. used to like gadgets. Yes. I was the one that could start saving just so I could buy a certain gadget. Machines. But once I got to start having a love, a genuine love for God, and setting my eyes on things that are eternal, all those things started to die. Matthew 6:19. Many of us cannot trust that there are things that are eternal and there are things that are uneternal or not eternal. But you have to. You and your heart is different as well. So you have a heart that's full of gratitude. Are you listening?
Yes.
So you keep your eyes on eternal things. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Can we all read together? Verse 21 to go. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rat doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So you're going to set your heart on eternal things. I believe that it's like a key for me. I set my heart on things that are eternal. I just love God, not things. I told you that if I used to go to church for things, I don't think I would enjoy church. Because what more can you get? After you get a promotion, You buy the car, okay. The house you eventually build, okay. What's next? More houses, all right. Then you just get tired. You're like, nope, I'm full. I'm okay. No. So you're going to set your eyes on eternal things. Don't look at the things that are earthy. Don't look at the things that are earthly. Don't fill your heart with things that are earthly and earthy. They are full of corruption. They will destroy. Now this is Jesus' own words. No. See Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 3 instead. Verse 1 to 2. Can we all read together? 1, 2, go. If ye then be risen with Christ, those things that are what?
Above.
Those things that are what?
Above.
Those things that are what?
Above.
Wow. An iPhone?
Google.
Your rent?
No.
Because you don't have something to food to eat. That's what you should be seeking fervently. What are you supposed to be seeking? Relationships?
No.
Okay. All of these things are not wrong. But that's not what the scriptures here are telling you. It says, seek them that are what? Marriage?
No.
What do you call it? Houses?
No.
Things that are?
Above.
Things that are above. It means things that are way beyond what the physical eyes can see and can relate to. You're seeking the things that are what?
Above.
I tell you that, you see, the world has a surge of hypertension. Surge. You'll be shocked that nowadays, hypertension was like, they say after what, 50, 40, 60, now 20, 22, 21, 2019. See? And the devil knows is that if the church is starting, like if we start to teach the church to set their affections on things that are bad, he loses his entire power over them. Because think about it. The reason why you'll be worried is because of something that is more earthy. You are not worried about how many souls you won. That one is not really a problem to you. When you sleep, you have hope that the next day you can win more. It will happen. If you go outside, you talk to somebody. Or if you do this, it will happen. Or if you go here, it will happen. But when you seek that visa, see, your heart continually beats for it. It becomes your prayer topic. God, if I could just japa, I'll praise you forevermore. No, why don't you just tell him that? The reason why I'll praise you forevermore is because you did this. In the natural sense. And it's even not for a spiritual cause. So if he gave you a car, you praise him forevermore. So what if the car, somebody down takes the car? It means that your praise are finished. You need another car for another praise. No. Set your affections on things that are above. Are you listening?
Yes.
Someone was looking for a job sometime. And I kept on telling the person, I said, you know what? You have a job. Let's not worry so much about it. Right?
Yes.
You have a job. Don't worry so much about it. Whatever it is you're looking for, you have it. It's taking a while. Does not mean you don't have it. But you have it. And then the person had the job. And then the person came to tell me, I remember when you told me. I said, you have it. Rather than become so sad. That school, you have it. You don't need to be worried so much about it. I've always known this. The moment I get to realize something intends to take my attention away from the ministry, I put it aside. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I just put it aside. Yes. In my service to God, I put it aside. Because I learned to set my affections on things that are what? Above. Are you going to set your affection on things that are above? Are you sure? Set your affection on things that are above. Number five, or keep your eyes on eternal things. Number five, practice thanking God in difficult situations. Practice thanking God in difficult situations. It actually takes a man of the Spirit, full of the Spirit, to do this. Because in the natural, there's no way it calls for thanksgiving. When a difficult situation comes up, it no way calls for thanksgiving. Don't you see that? It takes a truly spiritual man to remember to be thankful when situations get really difficult. But you're going to learn this because you're full of the Spirit. Glory to God.
Glory.
Romans chapter 8, verses 28. Romans chapter 8, verses 28. Wow. Learning to be thankful. And listen, this is an instruction to you. Don't have anybody that murmurs around you. Eh? Don't keep them around you. They will poison you with their ungratitude and their unthankfulness. The moment I look at someone, I feel they are not thankful enough. I don't want to have them around me. Because you will teach me to be unthankful. You teach me that. Unknowingly, you will encourage me to be unthankful. Yes. So you're going to practice thanking God in difficult situations. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are, they're called according to his purpose. So all things are going to be working for your good.
Amen.
In the midst of trials, it's going to be working for your good.
Amen.
In the midst where things are not turning out the way you expect, it's going to be working for your good.
Amen.
In every situation, it's going to be working for your good.
Amen.
Going to be working for your good.
Amen.
You're going to be working for your good.
Amen.
All things are working for my good.
All things are working for my good.
And so that's why you'll be thankful in advance. Because whatever that seems like is wrong, you are already thankful. You know that it's going to turn out well. It doesn't matter how disadvantaged you look. It doesn't matter how deprived it looks now. But we know that all things are going to be working for our good. All things. Lord, I don't understand why this happened, but I know it's going to work for my good. I don't know why this thing turned out the way it turned out, but Lord, I'm optimistic that it's turning out for my good. With hearts full of gratitude, Lord, we give thanks. So my man is the wrong. Lord, we are thankful. So you're going to thank God in all situations. When you call home, and it's said that there's no money, there's something wrong, you say, Lord, it doesn't feel good to be in this place, but I'm still thankful. And then the last one, you learn to meditate on His goodness for you. Wow. Okay, E-flat. Meditate on God's past faithfulness. God's faithfulness. You know, sometimes we quickly forget. That's our problem. We forget. We forget when He came through for us. We forget. And I think you should keep like maybe a journal of things or something, because you forget. We forget. Oh, we quickly forget. How faithful He's been. Forget. But do not forget His benefits. Don't forget how far He has brought you. You know, whenever I stand before somebody that needs a miracle or a healing or something, I probably will have to remember the previous person that had one. And I'll say, Lord, if you did it again, you can do it again. So you remember His faithfulness, of His goodness.